Heavenly Father, our Holy God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love, your kindness, and your forgiveness, my God. We pray that as we come together tonight to look at your word, that God, we will be filled with hope, we will be inspired, and that God, we will be drawn closer to you, God. We pray that the scriptures combined with our faith will truly come alive tonight. Amen. I pray for all of this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's so good to be here. Today, as Verna said, we continue on spiritual disciplines. This is lesson three so far. Well, it doesn't really matter what number it is. Amen. And do you do memory scriptures, Verna?
Oh, okay.
Amen. Great relief there, amen. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, "Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." You know, the Bible tells us that we have to guard our hearts because everything flows from it. Now, spiritual disciplines, of course, help us to be able to do just that. I know that we will look at a couple of spiritual disciplines tonight, and I know that they are just merely an extension of many ways in which we connect with God. I know some people love to go out into the field and, you know, where it's just them and God, and they look at the stars. And, you know, I've heard of some guys who make God a cup of hot chocolate, you know, and they are able to bond and connect with God. I don't know how you connect with God, but I know that spiritual disciplines go a long way in terms of helping us to connect with God. Our relationship with God is not limited to spiritual disciplines, so you can be, you can feel free to do many other things. You know, I am not able to use my imagination that way. In fact, being alone in some lonely place freaks me out. You know, I love civilization. I love to see the lights and running water and the geyser and electricity. I connect with God just as well under those conditions as I would out in the field. But you know, we are wired differently. I know some guys go out and they'll bring, you know, two lamb chops. You know, one is for God, one is for them, and they sit there and they connect. They feel like they are so close to God. Sometimes it's good to just take a day out of a busy schedule and really just do whatever it is that helps you to connect with God. I don't know what the pace is like here in Cape Town. Up in Joburg and Pretoria, things can get really hectic. And at least once in a year, you know, we encourage the brothers to just, you know, take some time, go on a boys' hangout, and, you know, pitch a tent somewhere, pray, you know, take some time and really be able to connect with God. Here's an amazing quote from a guy called Richard Foster. He says, "Spiritual disciplines allow us to place ourselves before God so that He can transform us." You know, I think this is an amazing quote because, again, it helps us to realize that, you know, we cannot limit our relationship with God to the things that we do. But that, you know, ultimately, it is God who transforms you and I.
That's right.
But spiritual disciplines help us to make ourselves available.
That's right.
You know, if you don't allow yourself to be fully immersed in God's word, then guess what? How is God going to transform you?
Yeah.
Because God transforms us, He transforms us through His word.
That's right.
If you don't allow yourself just get into that habit and the routine of making sure that in your busy schedule you set aside time that you rigorously pursue to be able to be your time of prayer with God. How is God going to transform us? So the spiritual disciplines, it's almost like we are making our intentions to God clear that, God, here am I, use me.
Yeah.
But we understand that it is up to God how he then transforms us.
Amen.
But we have to pursue making sure that we avail ourselves, that we are not so caught up, so busy. I've had people saying that, no, there are many ways of connecting, to God. I don't need to read or pray my Bible. I don't need to read my Bible or pray. I just listen to gospel music. Now, gospel music is a great way of connecting, with God. But of course, it is not, you can't get to a point where you're compartmentalizing connecting with God. Prayer and Bible study and meditation, they go a long way in terms of ensuring that God works on our heart. Allowing ourselves to be able to sit on that platform where we say, God, here I am, mold me, break me, change me, transform me. I don't know how many people pray that prayer. I often pray and I ask God, and say, God, I pray that you humble me. Now, he doesn't take too long to answer a prayer like that.
Yeah.
But that's how desperate I am. I pray that God, can use situations in my life so that he can mold me to become the man that he wants me to be. However unpleasant that process is, I pray and I beg God. I say, God, please, please, God, I desperately need you to humble me. And God provides opportunities for me to be humbled. Let's look at God's word in Psalm 19 from verse 7 to verse 13. Now it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing to the soul. The decrees of the Lord are righteous. By them your servant is warned. The Bible talks about how the word of God revives us and refreshes us. It talks about how his decrees are righteous. We've got to be obedient to the word of God in order for God to be able to take us in the right path. The scriptures discipline our hearts and behaviors. Now, of course, the psalmist here, goes through Psalm 19 from verse 7 to 13. And there are key things there that he highlights. He talks about how the Lord is perfect and refreshing to the soul.
That's right.
That's how he views his relationship with God. He says God is refreshing to the soul. God is perfect. Even though things may happen in our lives that we don't find so exciting. But he says he reminds himself that God is perfect. He says the decrees of the Lord are righteous. He reads his Bible and he says, man, I've got to obey the word of God. I am the problem. There is nothing flawed in the word of God.
That's right.
And he says, by them, your servant is warned. The word of God warns us. Now, I know that, there are some things, the Bible sometimes just amazes me. Many of us here, I don't know how many people love speeding. By speeding, I don't mean you get from 0 to 60 in a few seconds. I mean, in a 60 zone, you are driving at 80. In a 120 zone, you are driving at 140. Right? Okay, amen. I see. Those hands were pretty generous. There's a few people who would like to pull their hands, who would like to pull their hands down. Now, you know, you read in the Bible what the Bible has to say about folly. I mean, it's pretty piercing to the heart. And it just, you know, it's just one of those things. The Bible just says it, and you know, you can sit there and you read, and it really just cuts deep to your heart. So let's do that again. How many of us that love speeding? You know, the Bible has wisdom for just about anything and everything you can think about. You know, the Bible calls us to obey the laws of the country.
Amen.
But so many times, you know, I look at what the Bible says, the warnings that are given in the Bible, the amazing thing is that it is to our benefit and not God's benefit.
Yeah.
You know, God benefits so very little from the laws that He gives us. We are the ones who stand to benefit. You know, in Romans 15 verse 4, the Bible talks about how everything written in the past was to teach us, meaning the Old and the New Testament, it has been written so that we can be able to gain understanding from it. You know, it talks about how endurance and encouragement are taught in the scriptures for our benefit, so that we might have hope for the future. So the idea is that God has given us the love letter here, and He has given us so many case studies in the Bible. Good, bad, mediocre, guys who really blew it. And He says, if you and I sit down and we study this, you know, we have so much that we can gain.
That's right.
Simply because God loves us so much.
Yeah.
It's a love letter written to you and I.
Yeah.
And the attitude, you know, as you read through the Psalms, you know, you see the psalmists are incredibly in love with the Word of God. Because they see the value they draw from it. The Word of God transforms us. The Word of God helps you and I to be able to get closer and closer to God. We will do well to immerse ourselves in the Word of God such that the Word of God is almost second nature. But it takes time, right? You know, Jack and I went to play some golf. Now, I know Jack won't be fired up about this because, you know, he didn't tell Verna we were going, you know, to play some golf. I didn't plan to use that as an illustration, Jack. It just kind of came out. So we are playing golf, and you know, Jack says to me, "Okay, you may want to buy a couple of balls. You know, this course is not is very unfriendly." And I'm like, "No, I think I'll be fine. You know, let's go." And you know, there's a problem when you've played four holes and you've lost four balls. You know, you start to do the calculation and you think, oh boy, I think we're going to have a problem here, right? But let's face it, when you watch the guys playing on TV, you know, it looks so easy. It just looks, it's like, man, I mean, of course, what, you know, you just swing, you hit the ball, and it goes down the fairway, and it sits right in the middle of the fairway. You walk, and you get there, you hit it the second time. It's on the green, you know, very close to the flag. You get there, you putt. Voila, look at that. And how difficult can that get? Until you get out there, and you realize that it takes so much training. I mean, the guys that we are watching, some of them have been playing since they were 4 years old. That, in fact, they get to the course, and it is There is nothing else to do but to connect with the ball on the sweet spot of the club when they take a sweep. It's unthinkable to do any other thing. But for me, I get there. You know, one time I was playing with Jay in Balito, and Jay and I, we lost so many balls. I mean, there was a guy literally picking our balls up as we're going, and he put them in the bag and he wait for us at hole number 9 and he'll sell them to us. And then we'll come around the corner, the same guy is standing there, you know, selling again. He's got bags. And we were like, hey, this looks like you're selling us our balls, man. Come on, you know. Because we lost. I mean, it was a terrible game. The grass is beautiful. I mean, you pay an arm and a leg to cut the grass, right? And it looks so beautiful, but we are not playing on the fairway. We are playing on the grass that they don't cut. And it's like, nobody should ever play here, guys. It takes so much training and discipline. In the same way with connecting with God.
Right.
You know, we've got to fully immerse ourselves in the Word of God so that the Word of God allows us to be transformed by God. There are things that when you allow yourself to be trained by the Word of God, you could drive from Joburg to Cape Town and never exceed the speed limit once. Because it's the only thing that makes sense. Why would you want to drive at 140? Who does that? Right? Who drives without their seatbelt on? Nobody does that, right? It's like, this is crazy. But it's the same thing when it comes to our spirituality. For us to be able to obey God and to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, it takes, you know, us making sure that we immerse ourselves in the Word of God. That we allow the Word of God to transform us. That we set aside time and we are aggressive in making sure that we are unwavering in our commitment to God. In the way that we study, in the way that we pray. Now, of course, you know, studying our Bibles, I know if, you know, we're not talking about here, you know, just reading the NIV. You know, for a long time, I'm sure we have grown a lot, but I know that in Joburg, you know, there was one baptism, one Lord, one church, and one version, the NIV. That was it. You owned one Bible, one version. That's it. You were loyal. If you study the Bible with a guy and he pulls out a different version, you know, you were like, no. Let me give you my Bible. I'll take yours. You take mine. Read from this one. It is the best thing that has ever happened to us. But we've got our own, at least 4, 5, up to 10 different, you know, Bible versions, different softwares. You know, we've got to spend money on this. We can't spend money, more money on golf than we are spending on our spiritual enrichment.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, we've got to read so many books. You know, we've got to constantly keep investing so that our understanding of God's Word is constantly enriched. If you just stick to the NIV and, you know, you are one baptism, one Bible version man, you can only grow so much. You know, you've got to pursue the Word of God with everything that you have. You know, let's talk about meditation. Now, meditation, of course, is an incredible concept. You know, you take one passage and you think about it over and over and over again. Now, the amazing thing is that we meditate all the time. Now, when you are in love, you know, what do? You think about this woman all the time. That's meditation. When you have had a conflict with someone, right, you are constantly playing that conflict in your head over and over, and probably you are playing you winning the argument, right? That's what's playing in your head. This is what I'm going to say, and this is, can you imagine this is what they said? That's meditation. So it is the same concept applied into God's word, where we take the word of God and we just allow our brain to marinate over it. You know, we allow our brain to just sit on the scripture, and man, you know, we think about it. We think about it so much that, you know, you can't, it's impossible to even forget about it. So there are times when definitely, you know, we must take the Bible and read volumes in the Bible. But there are times when you just take that one passage and you just zone into that passage. And that's all that you play in your head over and over and over again. Depending on what you're going through at the time, you know, you take that which is relevant to your experience at the time and you play it over and over and over again. You know, here are some reference scriptures that we can be able to read as homework. Some scriptures to meditate on as far as God's word is concerned. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 to verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 15 and verse 23. Verse 48 and verse 78. Verse 97 to verse 104. And on God's creation, Psalm 19, verse 1 to verse 6, verse 14, and Psalm 143, verse 5, Psalm 145, verse 5. God's character and his unfailing love. Psalm 48, verse 9. Psalm 63, verse 6 to 8. God's deeds and miracles. Psalm 77, verse 7 to 12. Psalm 119 from verse 25 to 32. Let's have someone volunteer to read for us Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3. Anybody volunteering to read for us? Yeah, go for it.
Psalm
1 verse 1 to 3.
Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, who stand in the way of sinners, who sits in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers.
Amen. Now, here the Bible talks about meditation. You know, it says, blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. You know, it says, he meditates on it day and night. And it says, everything he does prospers. You know, we prosper when we keep the word of God in our hearts and in our minds day and night.
Yeah.
How do we prosper? We prosper by making the right decisions.
Yeah.
We make the right decisions because God's counsel is constantly close to us. And the Bible says, you know, we should consider ourselves blessed when we delight in His law. Now, I don't know what it is that you delight in, but when I think about delight, you know, to delight in something, you know, it's like, man, you know, people often, you know, it's things like, you know, delight comes in the same sentence as things like food, right?
Yeah.
You know, there are people who just delight in food. They watch, they even watch, you know, food channels, right?
Yeah.
And they see, you know, the Buddha Boss, or Brian Master.
Yeah.
They watch Brian Master and they watch all these kind of programs, you know, where, you know, they're constantly talking about, man, this is how you make good food.
Sure.
You know, you walk into their house, it's on the food channel. They've got cookbooks.
Yeah.
You know, that's constantly what they talk about. What do we meditate on day and night? What is it that sits in your mind day and night?
Right.
How much money we are going to make? Where we want to move to, where we want to live, the kind of car we want to drive. The Bible says, blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord.
Right.
Blessed is the man who meditates on it day and night. You know, our screensavers, instead of putting, you know, that Diablo on the screensaver or the Phantom, you know, it should be the Word of God that jumps out. You know, it should be posters of the Word of God on the, you know, on the fridge with the fridge magnet. You know, in the bathroom, you know, in the toilet. You know, that's the only time where you are undistracted. Anybody who comes to your house will be undistracted there. You know, you want to pop a scripture right there in front of them, just to make sure they don't miss it. You know, Psalm 37, verse 7. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, we've got to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. You know, we've got to wait patiently for God to transform us. We've got to wait patiently for God to come through for us in our lives. That doesn't mean we shouldn't have dreams for ourselves, but the question is, are you willing to wait patiently for God to answer?
Amen, teacher.
Or are you wanting to go after it no matter what the cost is? The Bible says we've got to wait patiently for God. So we read His Word, we allow it to transform us, we let it marinate, you know, in our brain, and we wait patiently for God. You know, it takes a certain level of trusting in God to be able to do this. You've got to trust that God, in His nature, He will absolutely come through on His promises, no matter what happens. That's the level of trust that it takes to be able to love God's Word in this way. And you know, when you fall in love with the Word of God and you allow it to play in your mind all the time, you know, it can only produce trust in God. And I read an amazing statistic about Jews. Now, they say that 99% of the people who are born Jewish will probably die Jewish. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's how devoted they are. But you look at the way that they live. I mean, their lives revolve around their religion. It's not the other way around, where their religion revolves around, you know, is sort of centered around their lives. Their children, you know, they make sure that their children, you know, read that law. They've got those tassels. You know, you look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, you know, many Jewish families, you know, they pursue that passage with everything. And there isn't a place where the Jews have gone and have failed to succeed. Because of the sense of community and culture that is structured around the Old Testament. So I don't know what our fears are, but I can tell you that there will be 100% success rate when we put our trust in God. Now, when I say success rate, I'm not talking about, you know, that we'll drive fancy cars or whatever, but I'm talking about being able to pass our faith onto our children. When our children pick up that God and His Word is everything to us. When they pick up that, man, these people, you know, their lives are centered around what the Word of God is saying. God always comes through. And what I often tell people in Joburg is that, look, now I'm not saying that, you know, take this with a pinch of salt. But, you know, when I look at what's going on, even in the business world, you know, the advice that I give brothers is that, you know what, even when you are righteous in the way that you do business, eventually you will become the most successful businessman. It may not be tomorrow, it may not be next week, but if you just run your business based on the principles that God gives us, ultimately, you will be successful. There's just no other way.
Yeah.
I mean, in Polokwane, there was a time when you know, people were buying tenders, selling tenders. I mean, and brothers were getting tempted, you know, to do business the way that the world does business. Now, a couple of months ago, they shut down all the companies that are registered with the government. And they started auditing each company one by one to see if they are related in any way to Julius, to the corruption that's been going on. And you know, they went through every company. Everybody had to re-register. And they looked at all their financials to see if there has been any money that went, you know, out of their company account into any of the guys that they are clamping down on. It didn't even take that long. And already the guys who did business according to God's word are smiling all the way to the bank in Polokwane. They are not stressed, they are not worried, that it's business as usual.
Yeah.
Why? Because when we put and we hinge our hopes on the word of God, God will never fail us. It's the same thing with raising our children. If we just hang in there and we put our hopes, you know, on the word of God, the same thing even with the way that we run our households. You know, even with the way that we run ourselves. You know, if you look at the Bible and you see just how many scriptures talk about how we can take good care of ourselves. You know, it talks about how we shouldn't eat animal fat. Right? You know, when you go back into Leviticus, you know, it talks about how, I mean, it's just, I mean, do not gaze at wine while, you know, I can't even remember what the scripture is saying, but it talks about how when drinks are mixing, then you shouldn't be gazing at them. It's like, you know, there's just a scripture for everything. You could literally live your life, you know, looking at the Bible as a manual. There is no reason for us to doubt the word of God, but we've got to be able to train ourselves in the spiritual disciplines.
Right.
You know, we've got to be able to make sure that we allow ourselves to constantly go before God in prayer, constantly make sure that the word of God, you know, is in us. Let's look at praise and prayer. This is one of the ways in which we can be able to connect to God. Let's have someone else read for us Psalm 89 from verse 14 to verse 18. Any volunteer for Psalm 89, verse 14 to 18? Amen. In the back room.
Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exult in your righteousness, for you are their glory and strength, and by your favor your exalt are all. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel.
Mm. Now, the Bible here, you know, it's amazing because it says, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you. Blessed are those who have learned to praise you. Now, the scripture here is suggesting that praising God is something that we can learn.
That's right.
You know, it's not, oftentimes we think it's something that should come natural to us, right? But it is something that we learn.
Sure.
You know, I remember as just growing up, my grandfather, you know, my grandfather would pray for an hour every day. Every night, you know, he'd call us and, you know, he'd start praying for every situation, every person in the family, and we'd keep going, 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 and we'd fall asleep. And how we knew when to wake up is that at the end of the prayer, he would then recite Psalm 23. So whenever you heard Psalm 23, at whichever point you are in your sleep, you knew this is the right time to wake up. The old man is wrapping up now. And I used to be, you know, I used to be so blown away. I was like, man, I can't imagine praying for an hour. And then I studied the Bible. And then the guys, you know, helped me to figure out how to pray. And I was just blown away when I learned how to pray. Because even though I grew up somewhat religious, I had no idea on how to pray. I was clueless. And it took someone sitting me down and teaching me how to pray. You know, praise is something that we can learn.
Sure.
You know, sometimes we learn through praying with other people. You know, I enjoy praying with my wife. You know, I enjoy just hearing her voice and just, you know, how soft she is, you know, and gentle in her prayer. I mean, it's just one of those things that, oh man, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And I think, man, I can learn, I can grow. I learn through praying with other brothers. You know, spiritual disciplines can be trained.
That's right.
We've got to train ourselves for righteousness.
Yes.
You know, the psalmist here says, you know, they rejoice in your name all day long.
Yeah.
Rejoice in your name all day long. You are their glory and strength. You know, you get a sense that here, you know, it's, the Bible here is talking about someone who is incredibly passionate about God. You know, God is their source of strength. God is everything to them. And it says they rejoice in God's name all day long. You know, we can learn. You know, if you feel like your prayer life has gotten a bit rusty in the last couple of years. Now the good news is that you can learn. You can be trained again. You just got to be honest. You know, and talk to your discipler, your Bible talk leader, and say, bro, you know, man, I feel like I've lost touch. Can you please train me? You know, I remember, you know, we would go out praying early in the morning. And the brothers, you know, I'll hear these brothers praying, and I'll think to myself, man, this is amazing. This is incredible. You know, the brothers who did the Bible studies with me, you know, these guys, you know, would sit there and they'd say, okay, can you turn your Bible to this passage? And I would go there, and I'll start reading the wrong passage. And the guy is not even looking at me, and he would say to me, No, but you're reading at the wrong place. I said Matthew 9, verse 12. And I'll be like, how did he know? I mean, he's not even looking at his Bible. And I would go back you know, and the person would do one study after the other without looking at the making disciples. I don't know about you, but I was just blown away by that. I was like, man, this is incredible. And then I started doing my own Bible studies now. You know, after studying the Bible with like 100 people, I mean, that making disciples is like sitting in your head. You know, you just know which passage comes after the other. Do you remember those days, brothers? Do you remember just how amazing that was? You know, you could bump into someone and sit down with them and do a study with them right there on the spot. You didn't even need a Bible. Because you could tell him exactly what the passages were saying from the top of your head.
That's right.
And even make notes for them.
Amen.
And so you go back and you check if what I've taught you is the truth. And you walked away and you felt like, I mean, that's like the most natural thing I can do.
Yeah, that's right.
Even if you were woken up at 1 a.m. and they said, here's a guy who wants to count the cost. You know, you just kind of woke up and you knew where to go.
Sure.
Yeah, we can get back there again. That didn't just happen. We trained ourselves to get to that point. And then over time, we took a long holiday. And then, you know, we lost the touch. But we can get back to it again. Can we have someone read for us Psalm 4, verse 1 to 8, and we'll close there. Anybody? Oh, go for it, bro.
Psalm 4, verse 1 to 8 says, answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O man, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call him. In your anger, do not sin, but when you are on your bed, search your heart and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when the grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.
Amen. Now, again, you read this psalm, and you get a sense that, you know, there is an emotional battle going on here. You know, the psalmist is going through a lot in his mind, in his heart, and he's calling out to God. He's saying, God, you know, give me relief from my distress. You know, the amazing thing about our relationship with God is that God allows us the platform to be able to fully express ourselves. You know, there's no need to pretend with God. God says, you know, you don't have to pamper me with, you know, many words. Just tell me what you're feeling. Tell me what you're going through. I just want to be able to hear what you're going through. And it's funny learning how to pray in the church and going back and seeing how, I prayed as a kid and I listened to my grandparents, you know, praying. Growing up, you know, God was this, you know, big person who's sitting there. And, you know, you almost have to imagine yourself coming to prayer, you know, with your head bent down. And oftentimes, you know, we'd say all these nice things to God, you know. Oh, you sovereign God, you who stands, you know, towering over us. And you couldn't pray without saying that. You know, that's how, and sometimes I listen to my grandmom praying today. You know, that's how she prays all the time. You know, it's like, but God is saying, look, just come to me, let's talk. What's going on? What are you really feeling? What are you really going through? And we have that platform through prayer to be able to honestly converse with God and say, God, you know, today I really feel upset. Today I really feel disappointed. You know, God, I'm just not happy with where things are at right now. God, I have no idea of how I'm going to get out of this hole that I dug for myself. You know, we can have that opportunity to be able to connect with God. The Bible says that we have been set apart as God's faithful servants. That's what the Bible says. You know, you and I have been set apart as His faithful servants. You know, it is through prayer that we can be able to, you know, connect with God and see just how good God is. You know, one of my favorite passages is in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9b. And it says that the eyes of the Lord are ranging through the earth, looking to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Now, that scripture, I don't know about you, but that scripture just, you know, on a difficult day, I think about that scripture and I'm encouraged. That throughout the world, the eyes of God are just sweeping across back and forth. And all that God is looking for is those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. And he just wants to strengthen them. Every day, God, every hour, you know, hearts keep popping up on God's radar screen. And He's like, ah, look, here's one person who's fully devoted to me. They need me right now. I need to go and strengthen them. You know, the psalmist said, you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. You alone, O God, make me dwell in safety. Now, again, you know, this illustration would take off very nicely in Joburg. You know, we have ADT, we have high walls, we have electric fence. I mean, it's like crazy. You know, you close the burglar bar, you close the door, and you put maybe a bar across the door just in case, you know, they have breached everything. And it can be tempting to put our security in ADT and not realize that it is God who puts us to a safe place. But the spiritual disciplines, as we allow ourselves to be trained by them, again, they provide that platform for us to be available for God to transform us. Here are our memory scriptures for next week. Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brothers. That's our lesson for today, and I will hand over to our brothers.